Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Good morning on a festive Wednesday. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov and Greg behind the glass. Smells like Christmas in here.
It does smell like Christmas.
Yeah, I love it.
Every year around this time, around Thanksgiving, when all the Christmas candles and stuff come out, Lisa always, I don't even remember where it's from, but she always gets me a couple of candles because she knows I like the scent of the Christmas tree. You know, cedar and pine, and it smells awesome.
Very fragrant.
I hope you're okay with that. I didn't even ask. Heather has experienced this before, but this is your first holiday season with us.
I'm conflicted.
Oh, he really? Doesn't like it.
No, I actually like the scent. It's like a pine tree, Christmas tree. It's nice to walk into a studio that smells like this as opposed to like...
Yep, farts.
Yeah, the dudes have been sitting in these chairs farting and smelling. And all. So it is a welcome scent as I walk in. But the reason I'm conflicted, everything in its place. Christmas music can commence on Friday.
Oh,
the decorating of your tree can start on Friday.
Oh, can't
Thanksgiving have its moment first?
This is part of Thanksgiving. Yeah, it's you know what?
Get That's over the yourself. Reason you don't like this?
Yeah, I want Thanksgiving to have its moment
it's
first.
It's on Wednesday versus Friday. You're not even going to be in Friday anyway, so
You're
it's
right.
Just stop it.
When has it been okay to just skip over Thanksgiving? We
it's
do this
not.
Every
it's
year.
It's my favorite holiday. I know Heather hates Thanksgiving. But
I dislike it.
She hates Charlie Brown. Yes, she hates Thanksgiving. She hates, you know, little puppies. She likes grown dogs, but little puppies, yeah, she doesn't like them.
Where do you stand on ice cream?
No, I'm joking. Yeah. I'm totally joking. Yeah.
But like November 1st, Thanksgiving gets looked over because Christmas music's playing and people are decorating their Christmas trees and they're planning for Christmas and Christmas candles and Christmas. Let Thanksgiving have the month of November.
I really want to punch you right now.
Is that a bad take?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Right now, this moment, it is. Yes.
At 6 in the morning, it's a bad take.
And I was so happy this morning when I came in, just because Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. By 10 o'clock, all right, I get a chance to start thinking about, hey, I'm going to go home. And not only is this the scent that I wake up to this morning, we cook our big turkey on Wednesday. And because there's only one stove and you know, there's a lot of other things to have to cook tomorrow. So we warm it up tomorrow. But the house is going to smell like cooked turkey.
Get a candle that smells like that and bring it in. You know what I'm saying?
From 275 to 696, I celebrated. I actually took a picture of the fact that the construction cones were moved. I sent it to the kids because that's the way they travel to school. I was excited. I'm as happy. I come in here. I light a candle. I'm thinking, hey, my radio partners are going to be happy that it come in here and it smells nice. Heather walks in. Oh, wow. This smells nice in here. I walked in. It puts a smile on my face. You walk in and all I want to do is punch you.
I tend to have that effect.
It's like the Grinch has already showed up.
Yeah. My goodness.
Christmas can be a beautiful December-long celebration,
and it's not December. I did not think this is how we were going to open the show.
Over a candle.
Right. Yes.
So I come the same way as John, at least the last half of my ride from Tecumseh. And so when you get off of 275, 696, M5, they all split all different directions. And you came around that corner, and you saw that the left lane wasn't closed and both were open. And then you went down. And you're like, oh, no. Are four lanes going to be open down here?
Oh, yeah.
And then they were. Aww. And I got to say, first off, it's the first thing you said to me when I walked in today.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. I thought of you the second I was driving through there. Like, and I told you, I said, now the cones are still there and they're probably going to do a little bit of shoulder work here and there. Yeah. They got some, you know, but they did it for the holiday. They got, like, that's
holidays.
Awesome. Good job, Road Crew.
Yes. Well done. And it's beautiful. It's smooth. It's done. It's 2 years. Why not celebrate the moment?
And this has been 4 years of hell for me because it's been
275.
Both 275 and 696.
Yeah.
There was a huge hallelujah. And then you come in here and you got Mr. Christmas hater.
Yeah.
It's a Thanksgiving appreciation is what it is. We got football. We got food. We've got family, and we don't even celebrate it up until, what, maybe the day of? There's no month-long.
Says the guy that doesn't even like turkey.
There's no month-long celebration. Like, I mean, Halloween gets music and a month-long celebration. Christmas gets music and a month-long celebration. Thanksgiving is over in a blink of an eye.
If you celebrate Thanksgiving with lasagna and bolognese, you have no right to sit here and talk about, can't we just have Thanksgiving? No. If you wanted Thanksgiving, if you just sat there and gave a little bit of honor to tradition, then we could, you'd have a foot to stand on. Right now, you got nothing to stand on, so shut the hell up.
I think we need some revisionist history here. I said turkey's overrated. I said it wasn't the centerpiece. I didn't say I won't eat it. I wouldn't say it shouldn't be served at all during the holiday season.
Right, yeah.
That's a revisionist history.
You're going over to Valenti's house to have lasagna, aren't you?
I'm sure that's what they do over there, right?
I think I've heard that before.
Bippity-boppity,
yeah.
And it'll be all that. But yeah. I feel like Thanksgiving gets skipped over is all I'm trying to say this morning.
By the way, I do think today their show is white Thanksgiving versus black Thanksgiving. I heard them teasing that.
Oh, yeah. That's an old standby.
It's so good.
It's an old standby.
It might be one of their best bits.
Texter says, I'm with Cookies. Christmas starts the day after Thanksgiving. No sooner. Blake at work. And another one says, I hate Costa, but I'm with him on this. Give Thanksgiving November. Christmas can start on Friday.
I no comment. Okay. All right. I'm gonna have to hit the dump button here pretty soon, and I'm trying to hold back.
Last question. Why don't we have Thanksgiving music? Okay, we'll move on. College football playoff rankings came out last night.
Okay, come up with your Thanksgiving song.
I don't know what. I'm not a composer. It's not my wheelhouse.
Well, if you're not willing to step up, then shut up.
Okay, then. Something I do want to talk about. I said it was a festive start to the day. It lasted all of 2 seconds.
Exactly.
John, your candle's wonderful. College playoff rankings last night did include Indiana football. You heard it in the update. There was this big debate. What if they don't show up against Ohio State? What if they lose ugly against the Buckeyes? The committee has said, yeah, we're still going to have you in. Clearly, what happened around them mattered. Did you approve of their placement in the playoff rankings last night?
Yeah, I did. I don't have any issue with them being what they are at 10. I don't have any issue with that. Now, obviously, they've got to, they has to put together a good showing against Purdue, which, again, right, it follows the rest of their schedule. And I was asked last night, because my daughter goes to Purdue, who's got a better chance of winning, Purdue over Indiana or Michigan over Ohio State? And I said, I don't really know. I mean, both spreads are
20 plus.
Start with a 2.
Yeah.
Greg?
Michigan.
You think so?
Purdue is awful.
They are next level terrible. They've beaten no FBS football team
the
entire season.
Yeah.
And I think their spread's bigger, too.
But
about a touchdown.
Is it 27-ish? 26 and a half?
29 and a half is what I saw.
No kidding.
Oh, really? Wow.
Ooh.
Wow.
It's... hey, is what it is. But Indiana, get back to that.
Yes.
In regards to the college football playoffs, I didn't really have any issue. Greg, how did it match up with Greg Palm? Because I lost my sheet. I wrote them down yesterday, and I can't remember. Indiana was right kind of around 10, wasn't it?
Indiana was 8th.
8th? Okay. SMU, I think they're the front runners for the ACC.
Yep.
I think the big story, though, is... the Big 12. The Big 12 is going to be a one bid, and it's simply because they have to have a seat at the table. This is why I don't like the auto bids.
Well, they don't have to. You hear what Heather Dinich brought up yesterday on ESPN? I don't think this will happen, but you have to take the 5 highest conference champions.
Oh, is there another conference we're going to include?
Tulane is 17th, which is ahead of number 18 Iowa State and number 19 BYU, both from the Big 12. I'm not telling you they're going to put in the American Conference champion over the Big 12 champion. I'm simply saying they could. It's allowed. It's permissible.
Amazing. That would be amazing if one of the quote-unquote Power Four wasn't even in the top 5.
Now, again, if BYU wins the Big 12, they will likely pick up a ranked win that Tulane won't be picking up between now and the end of the season. So I don't expect this, but it was at least floated as a possibility.
Now, 2 things to point out here. A, Tulane is 33rd in Greg Palm. B, Tulane's 2 losses are to Oklahoma essentially a Big 12 team playing in the SEC.
Yeah.
And Kansas State, an actual Big 12 team.
Yes. Again, I'm not arguing that Tulane should get in. But it would be hilarious.
Interesting.
If the Big 12
who does Tulane have?
They play Memphis this week, and then they play Army in the conference championship.
Ooh.
Army is no longer ranked.
No. So if they made it, that would be a green wave in December after the red wave in November.
Yes, Tom. Yes.
Those are Christmas colors, by the way.
Tis the season.
There's the bow.
Can you wait till Friday for that? All right, coming up next, some reactions to the college football playoff rankings. We have picks today, right? This is a weird week with the holiday. We've got the Lions on Thanksgiving. Chance to win Lions tickets later in the show. Picks, bottom of the hour. It's 97.1.
Hey, Mr. Costa. Well, you know what? Hey, you know who's not looking past Thanksgiving? That's FanDuel. It's all gravy this weekend on FanDuel, which means you're getting a feast of rewards all weekend long. Right now, all customers can get a no-sweat NFL same-game parlay to celebrate the occasion. Just place a three-leg same-game parlay, and you're going to get bonus bets back if your bet doesn't win. NFL same-game parlays are the perfect way to combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payday. Build your own, or as I've been telling you throughout the football season, you can choose one of the popular SGPs that is pre-built for you in FanDuel's top-rated sportsbook app. What are you waiting for? Start the feast now with a no-sweat same-game parlay on America's number one sportsbook. Visit FanDuel.com/Jansen. FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. Opt-in required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max wager $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply, including token expiration. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Thanksgiving music. The sounds of football.
This could be your Thanksgiving song.
Sound of your family arguing in the background. That's
so- it does have that energy, does it?
That's right.
Yes, his family's coming over.
Someone did say the bickering to start the show does remind them of the holidays.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes.
John has a festive candle that invokes Christmas.
Yes.
Jumping
or
the gun
just
a little bit.
Simply the fall.
Jumping the gun just a little bit. Anyway, we mentioned the college football playoff. We've mentioned that. We did not mention that James Houston was released.
Not surprised. More surprising that it took this long and that he took up a roster spot all season.
Yeah, we had talked about this going back to the first few weeks of the year. If he's not going to be active, why is he here?
Yeah.
And then with the injuries, he still didn't really play a big role.
No. And defensive players continued to drop, and they thought it the time to part ways.
So no surprise. Campbell said, hey, change of scenery might be good for him. You know, they didn't trash him on the way out. Just didn't work here.
Right.
The other thing with the Lions, we'll get to them in the picks. You passed along a note.
Oh, yeah.
John, this week.
They could clinch a playoff spot as early as this week. Not the division, not the number one seed, obviously, but they could clinch in week 13. A berth in the playoffs. If they lost out, they'd still be in the playoffs.
Now, we're not going to go through it all because it's like, you know,
there's like five different teams that have to lose or tie.
But it's the first time this year that they could clinch a playoff spot. They likely will within the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And they could as early, obviously, as this weekend.
It's funny, too, because they always go through, well, they have, you know, if this team loses or ties, this team loses or ties, there's not going to be five ties. In a single week, at least I wouldn't think so. I don't know that that's ever happened before, even when ties were a thing. But the point is they have been so dominant all season long that, yeah, they could actually in week 13 clinch a playoff spot, which is awesome. It's absolutely awesome. Think about what we're talking about. 2 years ago, we were going into the final week hoping that, if Seattle wins and, you know, all of the different scenarios, well, we could be playing for a playoff spot against Green Bay. Now we're in week 13 and could already lock up a playoff spot. It's amazing.
And at that point, you're in the dance. Mm-hmm. Really, we've talked about it. The only way this team is going to be judged is not by winning the division, although that would be nice. It's going to be about winning the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Getting in the playoffs, doing damage, finishing it off. Got to get in first, and they could be in this week, which would be great. And then we could start getting into what we've been talking about, which is seeding, the one seed, matchups, yeah. all of it. And it's all right in front of us now.
Yeah, and it all goes to the way Dan Campbell has talked to his team, and he's told us, hey, you work yourself back. What's the goal? The goal is the Super Bowl. And then how do you get to that point? It's, hey, you want to get the number one seed. You want to get home field for as many playoffs as possible, playoff games as possible. You get into the playoffs. So you could check that. You might check that first box this weekend.
All right, we've got picks coming up at 6:35. Heather remains in first place. Downfall, not happening. 5-2 last week.
Nope. Mm.
But I went 5-2, and Tom went 5-2, and we're both above 500. At least we're pulling our weight around here.
Yeah.
John went 3-4 and is in dead last.
Well, we know what happens to the defending champs. They fall off.
Are you going to make a bowl this year, John?
No, my record is not bowl eligible.
Yeah, you can't make picks in a few weeks once we get to the bowl games.
Yes, bowl games and playoffs, I'm going to have to sit out.
The wisdom of Sparky Anderson always said, get to 500, then make your move.
So, Tom, you and me this week.
That's right.
You're making moves?
Mm-hmm.
Look
I'm
out.
I'm making moves on Heather.
That's all making it weird.
Yeah.
Let's go
thanks,
to the
Stoney.
News.
Yeah, it's time for news. Thanks, Stoney.
So, that explosion that happened at the GM Proving Grounds on Tuesday in Milford did do some damage. It damaged several homes. Two homes located about 200 feet away from the explosion were damaged from the blast. Thankfully, though, nobody was injured. Hurt. Nobody Good. Inside the homes were injured. But people are saying they felt this blast 5 to 6 miles away.
Wow.
And there's one resident who lives about two blocks away from this explosion site. And he said that it felt like a bomb went off next door. Like he was getting his child ready for preschool, and all of a sudden this explosion happened, and it literally, he said, felt like there was a bomb next door. His next door neighbor's house blew up. Obviously it didn't, but that's how it felt. Pretty crazy. Everything is still under investigation. Fire crews were there at the scene. They got the fire out and under control in less than an hour. But now, of course, it's just what caused the blast in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
A Lincoln Park police officer and a suspect were hospitalized Tuesday afternoon after a narcotics investigation led to gunfire. So police were conducting this search warrant or, you know, investigation in a neighborhood south of Outer Drive. Some officers were there in full uniform. Others were undercover. Well, the suspect involved in the investigation saw an ununiformed officer fled the scene on foot. So, of course, from there, there was a big chase. He ran. Multiple officers ran after him. Well, then gunfire was exchanged, resulting in one officer being hit and the suspect as well. The officer was struck in the leg, taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Is going to be okay.
Good.
The suspect also shot maybe multiple times. He's in custody, also in the hospital in stable condition. Now authorities are still trying to piece together the timeline of events, because some of the officers had body cam cameras, others didn't. They're trying to piece everything together, what happened, how it happened, and things like that. This is exciting. A 47-year-old Oakland County woman is quitting her job after winning $2 million on an instant lottery ticket. People are getting lucky these days with these tickets. This woman bought her Ace of Spades ticket at Perry's Palace in Pontiac. She says she is a regular lottery player, and you always hope you win big, right? But she did it. She scratched off the ticket. Couldn't believe it. She's already went to claim her prize. She opted for the one-time lump sum payout of $1.3 million. And besides leaving her job, she said that she plans to vacation and save her remaining funds.
Is that enough to quit your job?
It's not, but I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
But I'm guessing she has other money. Yeah, like, this is not the only
money. How old
is
she?
She's 47.
Yeah.
I don't think it's enough.
It is if you hate your job. So now Fair. She's got the money, and she can get a job that she likes.
That's true. It didn't say that she was going to
stop working altogether.
Yeah,
so it didn't say that she hated her job either, but I'm
just It didn't. Okay. But yes, if you hate your job or you're not happy, it's enough to go quit for a while. Take some time off, figure out what you want to do.
Take a vacation.
It's not, I don't think it's enough forever, but good for her. That's exciting nonetheless.
Yes.
There's a 22-year-old woman in Florida who might need to find a new job. We'll see. Melena Velez, I think is her name. She's really big on TikTok. She's like an influencer, right? She's got lots of followers. And she's in the news, not because of all of her followers, but because she stole hundreds of dollars worth of stuff from Target last month, and it was easy for the cops to identify her because she posted the evidence on her social media.
Oh, come on.
So it happened back...
can't help themselves.
I know. It was on October 30th, and police shared some security cam footage of this woman, hoping that somebody would recognize her, which they did. Mm-hmm. But they say that she filled her cart with $500 worth of stuff and then scanned false barcodes at the checkout to make it cheaper, right? Well, she got away from Target, got out of there, but then she posted a video of, like, I don't know, she was wearing the same outfit. She was picking out the items that were stolen. Like, yes, she basically outed herself on social media. So now she is facing theft charges.
Real brainiac over there.
Real bright. This is kind of fun. If you were to buy your true love every single gift from the 12 Days of Christmas song, you'd have to spend over $49,000. And it's more this year than it was last year. It's about 5.4% more this year than last year. So altogether, you would spend $49,263.47. Now, got some little stats for you. The price for the partridge, unchanged, same as last year. But the pear tree?
Yeah.
Went up 17%.
Wow.
Yeah.
How about the maids a milking?
Well, the maids a milking. I can tell you that right there. Let's see. Only $58.
58 baits? Is that just it's an hourly wage?
Yes. So they said the prices for performers, which would be like the ladies dancing and Lords a Leaping and things like that.
Where do you find a Lords a Leaping?
I don't know. Pipers piping, drummers drumming. I could find that. I think the drummers for sure. That increased 7.9% this year. So those went up. No price change this year for five gifts. And one of these I was surprised by. The turtle doves, calling birds, gold rings, because I feel like the price of gold was expensive this year. Swans of swimming and maids of milking, they say, are all the same prices as last year.
All right.
I'm glad I know this.
Yeah.
Now you know.
Uh-huh.
It's Heather with the news. Coming up next.
How dare you have a Christmas story on
before Thanksgiving.
Could you have waited till after the holiday? All right. Picks are next, 97.1.
Hey, looking for affordable family fun that fits your lifestyle? Well, the YMCA of Metro Detroit has you covered. Join the Y November 25th through the 30th and get 75% off your first month. That's right. Fun, fitness, and community for about $4 a day. At the Y, you'll find something for everyone. Swimming, sports, group fitness, and so much more. Your heart and your wallet will thank you. But hurry, the offer of 75% off your first month is only available November 25th through the 30th. Visit ymcadetroit.org or one of the 7 locations across Metro Detroit to join today.
Tom just said, I'm never in the montage when I do good. Last week, he went 5-2. I went 5-2. Heather went 5-2. Greg went 4-3, heavily featured. John, 3-4, pulling up the rear.
Yep.
People want to know, did you cheat last year, too?
Ha ha.
All right, let's get to the picks this week.
I do apologize for the lack of representation. I did not have the recording mics on for Jim and Gov last week. Hey, inclusion is important.
Did we really go 5-2?
Number 3, Texas travels to the home of the Greg Palm Field Office, College Station, to renew hostilities with number 20, Texas A&M. Longhorns are giving 5.5 points. Why did you play this game at 10 a.m. local time, cowards? Jim.
Instead, it's Saturday night. Texas hasn't beaten anybody. It's a rivalry game. It's at night. Aggies off a loss. Give me the Fighting Dan Campbells.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Aggies here, too. I think they care about this rivalry more than Texas. That's the way it used to be, and I think it's going to start that way to here, too. I think Texas ekes out a tiny close win, but give me the points.
So you think Texas views Texas A&M as little brother? Yeah, but Texas,
I didn't say
is
that.
It Texas and Oklahoma, right, is the big rivalry for Texas?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't disagree, but I do think that Texas understands what's on the line here, and when I saw Texas play early in the season, they were one of the teams that were legit to me in college football. I think Texas understands that just give me Texas. I think they win.
Those words from your mouth.
Yeah.
I'm also going to choose Texas. I like the Longhorns. I like their mascot.
You like Matthew
McConaughey?
McConaughey, yeah.
She does like short guys.
Is he short?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He is?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like him anyway.
You have a type.
But yes.
The two fan bases in this rivalry make Michigan and MSU fans look tame. I have a sister-in-law that went to UT, so I will take Texas.
All right.
Senior day on the banks of the old Red Cedar as Michigan State invites Rutgers to play an intercollegiate American football game. Spartans favored by 1.5. Gov.
I'm going to go Spartans here. I think they're going to become bowl eligible.
I think it'd be great if they were bowl eligible. I'm going to go with the Fighting Greg Schianos. I think they're tougher this year, and their style of football I don't think matches well with Michigan State. So give me Rutgers.
I feel like both teams suck, but I'm going to go with MSU.
With your people?
Yes, with my people, because it's at home too, and they needed to get a bowl game. So yeah.
Rutgers, more like Butgers. I'll take MSU, Jim.
Both teams are so bad. To John's point, I trust Rutgers not to have the catastrophic turnover.
Right.
I think they can lean on their ground game more. I'll take the Scarlet Knights.
Michigan is a 20.5 point underdog at Safelite Field in the Shoe against Ohio State. The game has been downgraded to a game. John.
You put this third just so I would have to pick first, didn't you? Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, shrug emoji. I don't think Michigan wins this. I think they cover. So give me the Wolverines.
Yeah, I don't think Michigan wins it either. I think they're going to get annihilated. It's will they cover or not? And because you picked Michigan, I'm going to pick Ohio State.
And those Buckeyes candies still taste good, right, Heather?
Yeah. They do.
Yeah.
Look, 0-11 picking Michigan games this season. Time to finish the drill. Let's run that table in reverse. Ohio State. Jim.
Thank you.
I hate that you just did that because I'm going to do the same thing. Let me stress this again, hate betting Ryan Day in this rivalry when his team has been owned at the line of scrimmage, but I don't think they'll hesitate to run it up, and Michigan style will struggle to play from behind. Give me the Buckeyes.
It has been over 1,800 days since the Buckeyes beat Michigan. That includes the non-game COVID season when Michigan kind of just all of a sudden got sick at the same time. I think they have the desire to blow them out. I think there was a tell at the end of the game last week about Ohio State's intentions when Travion Henderson had a chance to run in the end zone, slid down so that they could run out the clock, and then they went ahead and scored. I think it was setting up a mentality for this game, and I think Ohio State will win by at least 24.
The Dolphins travel to frigid Green Bay to take on the Packers Thanksgiving night. Packers are favored by 3.5. Heather.
Yeah, I think the Dolphins are going to be cold. I'm going to pick the Packers.
Packers are going to rock Tua. I'll take Green Bay.
Okay. The weather is a storyline, to Heather's point. 23 degrees in Green Bay. Tua said the Dolphins want to kill narratives. Well, they're narratives for a reason. Tua 0-7 in games played below 45 degrees. More picks than touchdowns. Give me the narrative. Give me Green Bay.
I wish I knew if Tyreek Hill was playing for sure.
Right.
I think he is. I think his personal reason was probably because of his court settlement or getting out of that stuff was probably what it is. So I think he's playing, and I think narratives are narratives, and I think the Dolphins are coming. I speculated in the Thursday touchdown, and I think the Dolphins are going to win outright in Lambeau.
I think the Dolphins win in Lambeau as well. I think they are a desperate team. They're not going to win the division. The Bills are too far ahead, but they're fighting for their playoff lives, and I think they go into Green Bay and do the Lions a solid.
Vikes host the Cardinals, favored by 3.5. Let's go back to this. Are the Vikings really going to go 10-2? Cards. Jim.
Oh, no.
It's been the year of the Vikings. It's been the year of Heather. It comes to an end. Cardinals run the ball. Murray avoids the blitz. Give me Arizona.
I mean, if we didn't go against her people, we might be tied with her at this point.
I know. All but wins every week. Take the Lions, take the Vikings. Every
guess
week.
What? I'm going against your people.
I figured you would.
I'm taking the points here, and I think the Cardinals might win the game.
I hope the Cardinals win the game. That would be sweet for this weekend. And it's also one of the things that would allow the Lions to clinch a playoff spot. But I don't think they get it done. I don't think Kyler Murray, I think the defense that Brian Flores is going to be out there is going to confuse him. I think he's going to throw some interceptions. He's going to have some turnovers. So give me the Vikings.
You know what I'm going to pick, right? Yeah. Although they didn't come through for me last week, which I was really disappointed about, I am still going to pick
your people.
My people.
Ravens favored by 2.5 against the Eagles in Baltimore. Jim.
God, this one's tough. I'm going to take the Ravens. I know it's a short week, but I think they match up well. Stop the run, win up front. Eagles got to hit the road, and Lamar does what he does against the NFC. All he does is win.
You know what? The Ravens' run defense is pretty good. Saquon's been the game changer for the Eagles here. They got to go. They were in the on the West Coast Monday night, short week. I think this is the easiest game on the slate. I'm going to take the Ravens.
I this is where I hope a narrative plays true, and it's backed up by fact. I mean, has Lamar ever lost to an NFC team? No. Or the once
the Giants have, of all teams.
So give me the Ravens.
Fly, Eagles, fly. I'm going to go with the Eagles.
Oh, you Stoney. And Stoney.
I know, yeah. I know.
This one won't go down to the wire. Saquon coming, Eagles. The Lions try to snap their 7-game losing streak on Thanksgiving Day. They host the Bears and are laying 10.5 points. Gov.
All right, so I told Greg right before I came in here that I think this is one of the harder games we've just ever had to pick because every single indication is to take the Bears here in the points. The Lions' record against the spread is absurd. It's 9-2. Divisional game. Bears will show up because it's a national TV game and the usually teams do. Every single thing. And I've been a little squirmy this week. I got to admit it about the Lions. I don't know what it is just internally. And I think it's because I'm
scared.
I'm just a little.
You're scared.
But I got to go back to the beginning of the season when I said I thought potential was there for this team just to be one of those teams. They're going to rout them tomorrow. Give me the Lions.
I think this is one of those teams. I don't care how many guys are out. I think the Chicago Bears are a dumpster fire. There's going to be moments where Caleb Williams hits a couple of long passes. They've got talent at receiver. There's no question about that. And he has some talent. It will eventually come through in moments. But then the rest of the game, he's going to be a turnover machine. Kirby Joseph is going to be roaming around in the secondary. Brian Branch dropping the hammer. I think it's going to be the Lions, and I think it's going to be the Lions big.
This game makes me a little nervous, uncomfortable too, Tom. But I am going to choose the Lions. If I chose the Bears, Colin would kill me. So I'm going with the Lions, and I agree. I think they're going to win big.
Doesn't make for a happy Thanksgiving.
Confrontational Colin.
Yeah, watch out.
By now, you should know the best song on Pearl Jam's 10 album. It's Jeremy. Lions.
Yeah, I don't, Heather, you should be nervous because I think if the Lions lose this game, you're going to have a ruined holiday. Your Thanksgiving is going to be miserable.
Well, Collins will.
Oh, but he'll make your holiday miserable.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. We'll see.
Kids are crying in the background. Uh-huh. Lingering family.
Collins Lions screaming. Lose. The wailing.
Why is
Colin
Daddy
was.
Mad?
Yeah.
Why is he crying?
Yelling. Good news for you. Good news for Metro Detroit. That's not happening this year. The Lions are public. They're injured. They got them right where they want them. Lions are winning by 16 points per game. 2-0 is a 10-point favorite. Let's make it 3-0. Give me the Leos. Those are the picks. It's 97-1.
When it comes to an IRS collection or audit, you need a law firm that specializes in the resolution of all types of tax problems. And when dealing with the world's largest civil law enforcement agency, your case can take a lot of twists and turns. Your first call should be to an experienced law firm like Abraham and Rose. They're prepared to advocate on your behalf, no matter if it's civil or criminal, or even the Michigan Department of Treasury, whether personal income tax or business payroll taxes. You're going to need a real team of local lawyers, not some tax organization with some random individual that you're never going to meet. Visit abrahamandrose.com today or call 248-539-5040 so you never personally have to deal with the IRS.
.97-1. It's a football Wednesday. Holiday week. Just got the picks done. Look ahead to the Lions on Thanksgiving Day. Bears are in town. 10-point spread. And John, once again, the entire show took the Lions, even with the injuries this week. And I'm curious to you, which of these injuries is most concerning?
That's a... I would probably say Carlton Davis.
Okay.
If he's unable to go, and I think that Aaron Glenn, he's shown, especially this year, that he is able to construct game plans to cover up deficiencies. They've been able to cover up the deficiency of pass rush since Aiden Hutchinson went down. And even with Za'Darius Smith, it's not been what I think they really need it to be. It's not what we want to see. No Marcus Davenport. And I think the guys inside have surpassed expectations. And Lee McNeil putting pressure on quarterbacks has been great. But I think with the receiving group that the Bears have, the Carlton Davis injury could be the one that to me is most concerning.
Especially because for the Bears, it goes through Caleb Williams. And if he's getting his feet under him, and he only has, I think, one pick since mid-September, threw two touchdowns last week against a Brian Flores defense that likes to send some heat. If he has some favorable one-on-one matchups on the outside, and he can move the ball a little bit, now you're sweating more than you want to on Thanksgiving. Now you're reminded of that stat. They've lost seven straight. You don't want to be in that spot. Carlton Davis did not practice fully yesterday. Neither did Taylor Decker. He was limited in practice. And the same, I believe, with Khalif Raymond. Those are the biggest three. I saw Montgomery's limited at practice. I think he will go.
I think he'll play.
Yeah.
And I kind of do expect that Taylor Decker will play. That is concerning. If he doesn't, because of the defense that the Bears have. You can say whatever you want about their offense and how ineffective it can be. And it's not necessarily the picks that Caleb Williams has thrown early on or is not throwing now. If you watch that Minnesota game, he's got a hard time pulling the trigger.
Sure.
He stands in the pocket longer than anybody else trying to decide where he wants. I think he's so afraid of throwing another interception, that there are passes he just simply will not throw. There are throws he won't make.
But I think some of that is understandable for a young quarterback because you don't want to make the critical mistake, and you got to live to fight another down. So
sure,
second down's not there, don't give the ball away.
But and here's where it becomes concerning. If you're not able to pressure Caleb Williams, and you're not getting anything from the outside, how much can you rely on Elaine McNeil, DJ Reader, Levi Onwuzurike to be your pass rush from in the middle?
Yeah, Caleb's last eight games, 9 touchdowns, 1 pick, quarterback rating of 94. He's completing 64% of his passes. He's been sacked 31 times, to your point, John.
Right.
So that's some of what's happening with him. And let me just correct what I said. Decker did not practice yesterday. Davis did not practice yesterday. Khalif Raymond did not practice yesterday. They weren't limited. They didn't practice at all. I would say, as we sit today, no inside knowledge, they're not playing.
Well, and again, reading the tea leaves about Khalif Raymond, you're going for a second opinion. It's generally, if you get hurt, and this is just because it is a workers' comp case at this point, you want to make sure that you get a second opinion from somebody outside the organization. And when that happens, to me, that's not is he going to be back this week? That's could he even be back this year? A conversation.
Yeah, that gets tough. I do think Montgomery will play. I do think Amon-Ra St. Brown will play. Both were limited. The one I'm on the fringe with might be Decker, just because he's a warrior. I don't want to say he won't play, because I could see him gutting it out. But they have been strategic with him as a veteran, playing the long game. It's a short week. He came back in the game last week, but wasn't 100%. John, he might be the biggest guy to miss, though, because you've been all about this. The offensive line is what makes this team go.
Well,
if Carlton Davis doesn't play, Terron Arnold's back in there, you're facing a rookie quarterback, you should be able to do enough to keep them from getting to 30. Can the Lions put up 30 points, take care of business, lead with the offense? And if Decker's not in there, that becomes more difficult.
Well, and what it does is, Ben Johnson's no fool. Hank Fraley's no fool. If they put in Dan Skipper at left tackle, especially with what he's put on film in the regular season, they know his limitations. There are going to be times where he's going to have to be one-on-one with some of those edge guys. But they're going to use Brock Wright, Shane Zylstra, and a host of running backs to help on that side. And it limits what you can do downfield. It doesn't eliminate all your options, but it does limit some of them, and it makes some of them a little bit later. So look for a lot of checkdowns to running backs late, to tight ends leaking out late. You know, I don't know that they'll necessarily use Laporta in that regards. So I don't want to waste him downfield. But if you're going two tight ends and, you know, you're sending Laporta out, then look for Zylstra or Brock Wright to be helping out wherever Skipper's lined up.
More 12 personnel, double tight end, especially if you don't have Decker. What are you guys expecting from Thanksgiving Day? Right? That's the question. What are you expecting from this game? Both in terms of, like, obviously guys that'll play and the impact that those injuries may have on the game, but the game itself. The Lions have lost 7 straight Thanksgiving days, which feels silly because...
And last year's was painful.
Especially painful. Everything else has gone away. All of the losing, the trends, the spots, the situations the Lions wouldn't win and couldn't win have all faded away. This is one of the last few dominoes. Winning Turkey Day, winning on the holiday with everybody sitting at the table with their family. Will they be talking about a Lions win for the first time in 8 years?
I think they will.
I think so too.
I think they will. And it may not be as dominant as they have been, but I mean,
who cares?
It's hard to say that because every time they've been faced with the challenge, they respond with a big win. It happens. I mean, who would have thought that, you know, Hutch goes down and then against Minnesota, they go to Minnesota. They're trailing Minnesota and come away with the win. Now, I know that, you know, Hutch doesn't play offense, but it is notable in that regard. And whether it's the weather in Green Bay, it's other injuries that they've had to find a way to generate offense, defense, special teams. They simply just seem to find a way. Next man up, when we talked to Dan Campbell yesterday, it was simply next man up. And it was also the mentality of, hey, this isn't going to be our last obstacle. We know there's going to be more thrown at us. So bring it on. And if we're truly going to be Super Bowl champs, teams that are Super Bowl champs find ways to overcome moments like this.
All right, 7 o'clock hour. We'll check in with Michigan head football coach Sharon Moore. 7:35, we'll talk to him about the game. The matchup with Ohio State as Michigan wraps the regular season this weekend. We'll talk more Lions football after the update. Obvious question is your concern level with the injuries, the injury that is most concerning to you. And how about this? If they lose, and it doesn't really enter our mind with the way this team's playing, but if they lose, does it ruin your Thanksgiving? Think back to last year. It's 97-1.